We'll be right back. we pray that you would awake our souls in this place today. We pray that we would open our hearts and open our minds and have a soul of expectation in this place today. God, I pray that we would defeat the enemy of going through the motions and playing the role of Sunday morning churchgoer here in this place today, God, and that we would get real with you and get real with ourselves and embrace the presence that is the Almighty God that is in this place this morning. God, we thank you so much for this time of worship. We thank you so much for who you are. We cling to the promise that you are, in fact, a good, good Father, Lord. You are the Father of all fathers, and we thank you for that. You are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. It is you. You are the beginning and the end, and we are so grateful for that in this place today, and we cling to that promise today, Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would just get out of your way and that you would do your thing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, can we give it up for our worship team this morning? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Man. So, like I said, we're doing things a little bit different here this morning. I want to welcome in our live stream. For those of you who are tuning in online, we're so grateful that you're with us on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to any fathers who just tuned in online. So again, we're doing things a little bit differently, so I'm a little bit out of my flow. So what I'm going to do really quick is I'm going to welcome everybody here, our first-time guests. We do have some first-time guests with us here today that I know from CHM. I'm not going to put them on the spot, but welcome, guys. Welcome anybody else who may be a first-time guest here today. We're so grateful that you chose SBC, and we just really hope that the Lord meets you here and that you leave here closer to God than when you walked in. Notice I didn't say you leave here feeling good, because you might not leave here feeling good, okay? That's not on me. That's on the Holy Spirit. But welcome. We want to just make sure that you know that we've got next steps to take here. All of us do. Every Christian, every person who is following Christ has a next step to take. And our goal here is to walk beside you as you take those next steps. It could be baptism, serving, whatever that looks like. We have a baptism coming up. Is that next week? June 22nd? Is that next weekend? Yeah. Okay, cool. We're going to baptize some people next weekend. If you need to get baptized, you can still sign up. All right, so there's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby there at the Connect counter. You can sign up, put your phone number so I can give you a call, and we can have a conversation and make sure that we're all on the same page as to what baptism means and all of those good things. But if you need to get baptized, if that's your next step, you have that opportunity. So I'm going to go through a few announcements, and then we're going to get into our sermon here today. So Summer Fun Fest has concluded. Can I get an amen from all the volunteers? In all seriousness, though, it was an amazing week. Summer Fun Fest, for those of you who may not know, it's our version of Vacation Bible School. And it was a crazy, fun, intense, busy, exhausting, rewarding, enjoyable week. And we had a lot of kids here all through the week. I just want to give a special thanks. I sent a message out to my leadership team, I think it was yesterday or whatever it was, just thanking them for serving, but not all of you are in that. And I just want to give a heartfelt, like, I appreciate you guys so much. The people that came out here and cooked food, the people that came out here and led groups of children from station to station, people who taught, people who were just maybe in the backgrounds helping set things up. Like, this doesn't happen without you. I don't know how many kids were here, but I know each night we had like 30, 40 kids here every single night, maybe more. But the point is that that doesn't happen without you. We were able to show these children Jesus all week because of people like you that gave of your time and your talents and your abilities. Thank you so much. Can we just give it up for every volunteer that served? Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we do have a quick video that I want to share with you guys just as kind of a quick recap of what went down at Summer Fun Fest, if you want to roll that video.
We'll be right back.
And the video is still going, but it's all good. So thank you to everybody who served at Summer Fun Fest. We're so grateful for that. I already announced baptisms. Also, next Sunday, we're going to have pizza with the pastor. So this is a thing that we do every so often so that some of you can just get some time to come hang out with me. And what a blessing that is, right? No? Okay. But the point behind that is so that you guys can get to know me a little bit better. You know, like maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time and we see each other on Sunday mornings, but we don't have time to connect, right? So you can come out. I think there should be a sign-up sheet. If not, we'll get you one there. You can sign up for that. We just hang out for a little while. You can ask questions about the church. You can ask me questions about my life, how I'm pastoring the church, whatever you want. It's everything goes, right? And we get to eat pizza together. So where there is pizza, there is peace and heartburn. But that's all good too. Lastly, save the date. This is a big, big, big thing, okay? August 2nd, we are doing a back-to-school bash. This is a huge thing for us. We're partnering with Milheim Church and Moms on Target to bless our community of children. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be collecting school supplies separate from a backpack. I know usually we tell you to stuff them. This year, we're asking you not to because we're going to be giving these to a couple different age groups. So just bring school supplies and then backpacks separately. We've got a list for you out here so you know what to buy. It's going to be a great thing. We're giving away free haircuts, school supplies, socks and underwear, clean socks and underwear, clean in the package, socks and underwear. It's bad that I have to say that, but I have to say that and we won't say why. But this is a really big opportunity for us. You hear me talk about community all the time. And this is an opportunity for us to put our money where our mouths are, and really bless the community, okay? So that's August 2nd, and I know it's only, you know, June 15th or whatever, but August 2nd is going to come really quickly. So start bringing school supplies. We'll have a place for you to put them, and if we don't, just drop them at the Connect counter, and we'll take care of it, okay? So thank you, thank you, thank you. And lastly is giving. We talk about giving all the time, and we've just seen examples of what your giving does, right? Summer Fun Fest is not a cheap thing to do, and that doesn't happen without your faithful giving. And not just money. We do need money, but thank you so much for those of you who give of your time as well. So it is a biblical thing that we would give. We've got numerous ways for you to give here. That a little thing will pop up there. You got so many different ways. We've got our big yellow box out in the lobby for you to give if you want to give physically. Thank you guys so much for giving at SBC. We couldn't do it without you. I think that's all the pleasantries and all the things that I got to get through. So we're going to start how I normally start my sermons, and I'm going to start with a question today. And if you're joining online, feel free, play along, put your answer in the comments. And this question that I'm going to ask today is a give me, okay? The answer is super duper simple. If you're a Christian, if you are in this room or even tuning in online and you consider yourself a Christian, you would call yourself a Christ follower, what should be first in your life? Now, before you say anything, for those of you who may not be certain, I'm going to give you a hint, okay? Like I said, it's a gimme, but it's three letters long, okay? It starts with a G, and it rhymes with odd, okay? Some of you think I'm odd. It rhymes with odd, right? So what should be number one in your life if you call yourself a Christian? The answer is God. You guys are so smart. That's right. God should come first in your life. And you might be like, well, you say that, but I need proof, Pastor. Cool, here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek, what's that word? First, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So that's one little, you know, piece of evidence for you. But what about Jesus? What did Jesus say? When he was asked, like, what's the most important commandment? Which commandment is the highest of all? What did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. So if you're a follower of Jesus, what should come first in our lives? And the answer is God. The reality is that even though many of us claim with our mouths that God is first in our lives and our actions don't reflect the claim that we're making with our mouth. And that's sad, but it's very, very True. And as you can see here, I'm not calling anybody up on stage today, but I do have some chairs set up here. So let's just look at some things that might be considered priorities in your life, okay? So we've got this priority. Of course, we've got God. God is a priority. We just said that he should be number one. I hope these stand up here. If not, that'd be really embarrassing. The next one, let's say another priority would be your marriage, your family. This is all encompassing kids and all that stuff, okay? Then, of course, a priority would have to be your career, right? Because how do you support your marriage and your family and your kids and all that stuff if you're not, working, right? Then comes, this is kind of a secondary here, money and stuff. But we all need some stuff in our lives, right? We all like stuff, so we need stuff. So that might be a priority. And then, of course, we all need hobbies. So that would be a priority as well, right? So we've got our priorities, and we said that God should be first in our lives. But I want you to just for a minute here, for the sake of this illustration, I want you to picture that these chairs here, they represent the level of priority with which you place things in your life, okay? And now, obviously, we've already done it here. The first chair would be the highest priority. The second chair would be the second, third, fourth, on down the line. So we've only got five chairs up here today, obviously, and it could be so many more in your life, okay? It's probably like 15, 20, 25 things that you've got on your plate that you would say is a priority in your life. So this is just a snapshot, okay? So we already said if you're a follower of Christ, what should be in this number one chair? It should be God, right? You can say it. What should be in the number one chair? God, right. And then as a Christian, we're called to make sure that we take care of our families, right? So marriage would probably, your family would probably go in the second chair and so on and so forth. So we've got these all set up, and maybe yours would look a little bit different, and that's fine, but this is just an illustration. So we've got this all set up on how we say our lives would look. But if we just take a minute here, and if we get really real with each other, and I were to ask you the question, is this actually an accurate depiction of your life? I would say that if we're honest with ourselves, the answer would be probably not. Even though we say it with our mouths, our lives probably don't represent it. And now I can't speak for you, and I would never do that. But I can observe what I see in my day-to-day life, and I can observe what I see in both the Big C church, the overarching church, and in the local church. And not just picking on the church, but picking on myself, there always seems to be something in this seat that doesn't belong there. There's always something that takes the place of God. See, I knew they were going to fall. There's always something that takes the place of God. The most common thing that I see that ends up in this seat is, in fact, career. Okay, and this is something that I'm just going to do this. You can still see it, right? So, this is the most common thing that ends up in God's seat. It's our careers, right? Our careers take up a lot of our time. We're called to be good stewards, so we can't be good stewards if we don't work hard and earn money, right? So maybe your career actually takes up the first seat that's reserved for God. And then, well, of course, you know, marriage and family is here now. And then, you know, money and stuff has to go here because I got to take care of my marriage and my family. And then I got to have my hobbies, right? And then it's like, there's no room. There's no room for God. I've got my career, I've got my family, I've got my money and my stuff and my hobbies. And I say with my mouth that God is first in my life. But for real, he doesn't even got a seat at the table. We say with our mouths that God is number one. And you know, I can hear my mom's voice in my head right now. My mom always said, actions speak louder than words. And it's so easy, Christian, Christ follower, for us to say that God is first in our lives, and he ends up left out laying on the floor. Today's sermon title is A Faith That Puts God Second. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would use these words, God. Lord, I pray that you would close my mouth, that you would speak through me, Lord, that you would remove the veil for us, God. Sometimes we're not even willing to do that. I pray that you would just make us uncomfortable in this moment, because that's where growth happens. And your word promises us that if we draw near to you, that you will in fact reciprocate and you will draw near to us. And I pray that in this place this morning, that we would get out of the way and that we would just pursue you in this place, that we would run after you like we run after all these other things in our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today is week 3 of our sermon series called Christian-ish. Christian-ish. There it is. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome back there. Christian-ish. So maybe this is your first week here. Maybe you're new. Maybe you missed the first couple of weeks, whatever. And you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is Christian-ish? Well, let me just tell you. Christian-ish is having a half-hearted faith, wearing the label of Christianity without truly following Jesus. Christian-ish. Wearing the label of Christian to get the benefits of relationship with Christ without fully making him Lord of your life. This is the idea of Christian-ish. And one of the most common qualities of a person that we would see or maybe even self-identify as Christian-ish is somebody that has a faith that puts God second. So what does that mean? How would we define a faith that puts God second? Well, a faith that puts God second reflects a divided heart, where God is first in your words with your mouth, but in your life, he's missing from the table. As Christians, we're like, of course I love God. Duh. I'm at church, ain't I? We say, of course I want to live for Jesus. Of course I want to honor him. Of course I know he died for me and he deserves the glory and all the things, right? We say these things, but our life tells a much different story. And, you know, it's really easy for our lives to tell a different story, because in real life we get distracted. In real life we get derailed. And in real life things come up. It's life. We're humans. He made us, right? We know that God should, in fact, be first in our lives. But at the end of the day, God's not even sitting at the table, because we didn't make room for him. Although we said with our mouths that he's number one, he's not even in the picture. Now, the Bible tells us very, very clearly what it's called when we put anything, and let me just say, when I say anything, all-encompassing, anything, your family, your kids, your spouse, literally anything before God, there's a word for that. That word is idolatry. You might be thinking like, man, this is a pretty heavy sermon series, Pastor Ronnie. This is week 3. And you've been mean all 3 weeks. Like, why is this happening? Like, why are you being so mean? Why are we having these hard conversations? Why aren't you just making me feel good and sending me on my way? Welcome to SBC, where we build you up and send you out. Why? Because as your pastor, I'm not supposed to just come here and tell you that you're perfect the way that you are. I'm not supposed to come here and tell you, you're just human. God designed you that way. He knows who you are. He knows your heart, and he's going to love you anyway. Just keep doing what you're doing, and everything's going to be great for you. It's not what I'm supposed to do. I have a very high responsibility to preach in a way that ushers in the Holy Spirit so that we, because I'm preaching to me. This is for me too. But I'm supposed to preach in a way that would usher in the Holy Spirit so that we can be changed through the words that are spoken from the stage and that we could be closer to Christ when we finish. Amen? That's why we have to have these hard conversations. And that's why we preach on things like idolatry, okay? So we're going to look at a couple of Bible verses here that talk about idolatry. And the first that we're going to look at here is the very first of the Ten Commandments. And something that we need to understand about this is that if the God of the universe decided to speak 10 commandments to us, only 10, and this is the first one he mentions, it must be pretty dang important, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. You should have literally nothing. Nothing. It doesn't matter how you want to arrange these. Nothing should come before God. Okay, Pastor Ronnie, that's cool and all, but I mean, that's, you just read from the Old Testament to me. Like, I get the Old Testament is God's word. It's relevant, right? But aren't we under the new covenant? Cool. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Dear children, keep yourselves from, what's that word? Idols. Now, if you're anything like me, which, I mean, maybe you are, I don't know. But when you think of that word, when you hear the word idols, you're thinking of like golden statues, right? Things like that. Like, you're bowing down to some idolistic, and I think, by the way, I think I made that word up because I couldn't find it in spell check. I don't know if I did or not, but some idolistic object, right? Like a golden calf or something crazy like that. You might think of Nebuchadnezzar and all those things, right? And to be fair, that is an idol. That is idol worship when the Bible talks about that. But God's word does define this quite differently than you might think it would. Idolatry isn't just bowing to golden statues. It's putting anything before God. So if you've got anything in this chair, anything at all, anything at all, it doesn't matter what's here. If it's in this chair and it's going before God, quite simply, that is idolatry. So if we, as believers in Christ, if we as Christians, take a step back and just kind of, what is it, 30,000 foot view? I don't know what number they use, but really, really high, right? We take a step back and we look at this and we say, okay, if God is who he says he is, he's our creator, he's our sustainer, he sent Jesus. He is, he was, he is to come, right? And if we believe all of these things as Christ followers, as we claim we do, then it only makes sense that we would also agree that he deserves to be first in our lives. First. But so many times, he's not even at the table. Because if we can be really, really real and practical, I think we could all agree that even though God certainly deserves to be first, that's a pretty big ask, man. That's a pretty big favor, God. Why? Because we've all got dreams. We've all got plans. We've all got our vision board. We've got it planned out. We've all got a lot of things on our plate. So, why is God asking us to put him first? He made me. He put me on this mission. He knows I'm so busy that I don't got time for half the things I got to do anyway. Why would God ask me to put him first? Well, there are numerous reasons that we could talk about. I'm not going to keep you here for all of those. That would be a really, really long sermon, and you're only as holy as your rear end will let you be, right? So we're not going to do all that. But I will say this. God wants to be first in our lives because our God is a jealous God. Our God is a jealous God. And now I want to ask you a follow-up. Leave that up there. I want to ask you a follow-up question to that. And I need you to be really, really, really honest with me here. How many of you are tuning in online? You can say me, raise hand emoji, whatever you want to do. How many people would be honest enough to say that when I tell you this truth, that our God is a jealous God, that it rubs you the wrong way. How many of you would be willing to say that when you hear this metaphor that the Bible uses to describe God, that it might even frustrate you or even make you mad? Anybody? I think you're all lying, personally. So just raise your hand in your mind's eye. We can do that. But for those of you who maybe are sitting here saying, yeah, you know, I am kind of frustrated by that. That does make me mad. Maybe you're thinking like, why is God being so petty? Maybe you're thinking like, you know, I had a jealous boyfriend one time, I had a jealous girlfriend one time, and I am not down for that. I'm cool. And if that's where you're coming from in your mind, I could totally understand that. And I could kind of understand the fact that you don't like that God is, in fact, a jealous God. I can fully understand that. The problem is that Scripture is where we get our truth. Scripture is fully truth. And I hate to say it, but facts don't care about feelings. And I'm sorry that I have to be the one to tell you that, but Scripture is very, 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 very clear on this subject. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now I know our human brains can process this as being petty. And our human brains might have us sitting here thinking like, why is God so focused on a human emotion? Why does God appear to be so insecure? Why is our God jealous? That's common for our human finite brains to think. I thought that myself at one point in my life. But if we, as followers of Christ, can just step back and really understand who God is, then we can understand why he is, in fact, a jealous God. So the beginning of that is that we have to understand who God is. So who is God? God is all-powerful. God is perfect. God is sovereign. He is beginning, middle, and end. He is, he was, and is to come. So why would this God be jealous? Well, when we hear the Bible describe this metaphor, it's very, very important that we understand it in both its biblical and relational context, okay? Let me show you what this word, let me show you the Hebrew, okay? The word used for jealous in the Hebrew, and again, I am not a Hebrew. Listen, I had to look this stuff up. I did not study this language. It is kana. Okay? And you see that? That's how it would have been written. I copy and pasted that from Google. Don't worry. I fact checked it. It's right. So if you know Hebrew in here, I think that's probably it. So kana is the word that would be used for jealousy in the Bible. So something that, leave that up here. Something that we really need to know about this word is that when you look at the root word, there's only one N. Okay? That root word has one N. Why is that important? Because when it has one N, then it represents human jealousy, okay? But when you see the second N in the Hebrew, that is what's called an intensifier. And when you see this word, kwana, it is only ever only used for God. The second N intensifies this word to an infinite degree. There is no jealousy in all of human existence that can go beyond or even to the meaning of this word when you see that double N intensifier. And what that means is that this is a jealousy that is reserved only for God. And why does that matter? Well, because it's not referring to the human jealousy that your human brain was telling you that's petty. Why would God be so petty? Why is he so insecure? Because your brain is tied to the human jealousy. Human jealousy is flawed. Human jealousy is imperfect. God's jealousy is not. God's jealousy is rooted in his deep, intense love for you. Amen. So let's look a little bit deeper at this word and what it means in its full context. What this means is this. You can put that next one up. God's righteous, consuming, covenant-keeping jealousy that protects his relationship with his people. This is the meaning of the Hebrew word used to describe God's jealousy. It's a righteous jealousy. It's holy jealousy. It's a consuming jealousy from a God that gave literally everything for you. And he's saying, you know what? You should probably give that back. He just wants it back from you. His jealousy is a covenantal jealousy. He's fulfilling his promise to love you and to give everything for you. And I know you're like, oh, you're still giving me all this Old Testament stuff, and I get it, the Old Testament's relevant, but Pastor Ronnie, what does the New Testament say about this? Let's look at the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:2. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin. That's very important, the purity, to him. The jealousy used to describe God is not a human jealousy. It is a godly jealousy, perfect, pure, passionate, perfection. It is a jealousy that only can be described to God. So why? Why does he have this jealousy? It's because God loves you. And God wants what's best for you. And anytime you put anything in front of God, it doesn't matter what it is, God knows that it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. This is what David says, Psalm 16:4. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take their names on my lips. I know it's pretty quiet in here. It's cool. I'm good. It's all good. So let's take a time out for a minute. All right? And I want to take a little sidebar, and I want to just tell you something. That if you're in this place this morning and you're struggling, you're hurting, maybe you're broken, maybe you're dissatisfied, maybe there's just something in your soul that just ain't right. Maybe it's because you're putting something before God. Maybe it's because you've got something in God's chair. Maybe you've put something in its wrong place in your life, and that idolatry is really starting to jack you up. Maybe that's why. Maybe you're in a constant state of anxiety. Maybe you're in a constant state of depression. Maybe you feel disconnected from God and you haven't felt his peace forever. Maybe for you it's different. Maybe for you, you try to fill the void with stuff. With stuff. You buy, and then you cry and cry and cry. I debated whether I was going to do that. But the point is, you try to fill the void with all the stuff that you buy. And then you feel empty when you're done and you've got a massive credit card bill, right? So you feel empty and now you're even more stressed. Maybe for you, you try to fill the void with weed or alcohol or sex or pornography. And at the end of the day, you feel disconnected. You feel discontent. Because when we do these things over and over and over and over and over again in our lives, we eventually tell ourselves that that thing, that one thing, whatever it is, the problem that you've got in your life, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, we tell ourselves that that thing that we're filling the void with, that thing is our problem. So now if we just get rid of that thing, then we'll be all good. I'm here to tell you today that that thing is not your problem. Sex, pornography, drugs, alcohol, it's not your problem. It's simply a symptom of the disease. At the root of the problem is that any time we put something in the chair that is reserved for God, it will harm us deeply in our soul. And it's an exact example of idolatry. It's pretty quiet in here. This is our third week of a very, very hard sermon series. And let me just say, you think it's hard to hear? Try being the imperfect dude up here preaching it, okay? I am imperfect. I'm not some special. I am jacked up. I'm tore up just like you. I'm just a guy that struggles. Just because I'm a pastor don't mean that I don't mess up. Imagine being on this end of the conversation, okay? But, you know, obviously this is week three, and maybe the last couple of weeks you're like, okay, cool, you know, it was kind of like, it was hard to hear, but I was with you, right? Like, you told me some things that I needed to hear, but this week you're like, nah, bro, not today. You're getting in my business. You're telling me that my thing in my life is idolatry. Come on, it's my thing, bro. Golf is my thing, bro. My house is my thing. My car is my thing. The gym is my thing. This is my thing. That's my thing. Don't mess with my thing, bro. How about this one? My kids. My kids are my thing. My kids are my whole world. Don't come for my thing. Pastor, these aren't bad things. Don't mess with it. And if you said that to me, Pastor, these aren't bad things. Don't be coming for my things. I would say, you're right. These things aren't bad. Until you put them before God. Then they go from just being your thing to being an idol. And that is a bad thing. You know why? Even good things become idols when they take God's place in your heart. Even good things become idols. Even a good thing can become a bad thing when it becomes more important than God. And you start looking through all your stuff and God's not even there. Where is he? These are good things. But they become idols when they take God's spot that they were never meant to take. So the question would be, okay, cool, I'm following you. How do I know? Like, how do I know if my thing is like an innocent passion, or if it's just like maybe it's my calling? How do I know if it's becoming an idol in the eyes of God? Is my career just something that I'm working really hard at to make sure that I provide for my family and my children? Or am I putting my career before God? Is my health and my fitness something that I'm just doing to make sure that I take care of the temple that God blessed me with? Or is that taking the place of God? Is it an idol in my life? Video games. 28 people just looked up. I'm just kidding. YouTube, fantasy football, guilty. Are these things just hobbies? Or do we love them too much? Because these are good things, right? It's all good. We're supposed to, you know, it's appropriate to have hobbies. It's good to have hobbies. But how do I know if it's good or if I'm putting it before God? I'm glad you asked. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at three questions. And I've already asked our media director, Ashley, to post these on our socials throughout the week a couple of times, because I really want you, maybe take pictures of them when we put them up there, whatever you got to do. But I really want you to take these questions with you. And I want you to marinate on them. And I want you to process them. And I want you to pray on them. Because these three questions are going to help us identify whether the things that we're doing are healthy or if they're unhealthy and possibly an idol in our lives. The first one is this. Does this thing lead me closer to God Or does it distract me from God? Does my interest, my hobby, my passion, does my thing complement my relationship with Christ? Or does it complicate my relationship with Christ? Does this thing help me serve God, or does it pull me away from Him? The second question is this: do I rely on this thing more than God for my comfort, for my identity, and for my worth? Ouch! When I'm hurting, when I'm alone, do I go to this thing for comfort, or do I go to God? Do I need this thing to have meaning and value in my life, or am I finding meaning and value in my life through my relationship with Jesus Christ? Number three, if God asked me to give this up, would I give it up without hesitation? If God told you today that you could no longer, I don't know, travel the world because He wants you to go serve at the local mission 3 days a week, would you do it? Let me read my own mail. If God told me to quit playing softball and quit working out, would I do it? Would I say, yes, Lord, I trust You, I'll do whatever You tell me to do? Or would I be like, anything but that. That's my thing, God. Anything but that. So let's look at the questions one more time. Does this lead me closer to God, or does it distract me from God? Do I rely on this more than God for my comfort, my identity, or my worth? If God asked me to give this up, would I give it up without hesitation? I'm going to ask you to do something. We're not wrapping up, so don't think that we're closing here, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for me, okay? Online, I want you to do this at home too. Close your eyes for me. And I just want you to think about this question. Is God trying to show you something right now? Is God pulling at the heartstrings of your heart right now? And just let me give you a little hint. If you're mad at me for something I've said here this morning, if you felt like I've offended you in some way, that could just be God trying to get your attention. Is God trying to tell you something right here, right now, in this moment, that you've been putting in the wrong chair at the table of your life? Okay, open your eyes, and I'm going to go first. I struggle with the idolatry of wanting to be liked. I struggle with the idolatry of wanting people to think that I'm that guy that they all want to know. I struggle with the idolatry of wanting to be loved, and I struggle with the idolatry of wanting to be respected as a great leader, and I struggle with the idolatry of hoping that people would look at me and strive to be like me. I struggle with these things as forms of idolatry. And you're like, well, that doesn't sound bad, Pastor Ronnie. But remember, even good things can become bad things when they take the seat that's reserved for God. And I know that in my life, there are people that probably don't like me. They might not think I'm a nice guy. Maybe some of you here, don't know. Hope so, hope not, I mean. And while I really, really wish that I didn't care if you liked me or not, the reality is that I do. I care a lot. I want to make everybody happy. I want to make everybody like me. And this is the idolatry of people-pleasing. And it's a pure, prime example of what the Bible calls idolatry. And I have to take this to Jesus, not just sometimes, not just randomly when it smacks me in the face, but every single day, day by day by day, I have to wake up and I have to lay this thing at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what, Jesus, You're going to be first in my life. It doesn't matter what other people think of me. It's me acknowledging I'm not called to please people. I'm called to please God. And that's a truth that I have to hold on to. And that's an idolatry that I struggle with. So that's me. How about you? What is God trying to show you in this moment? What is God trying to show you that you might have in the wrong seat at the table of your life? What is it? Because I would be willing to bet that we've all got something in the wrong seat. I'd be willing to bet that whatever this looks like for you, that you've got it all messed up. And if you don't, cool, great. I'm happy for you. Praise God. But I'd be willing to bet that many of us do. And I'd be willing to bet that while many of us say that God is first in our lives, that he's not even sitting at the table. So my question is, do you have something in God's spot today? Do you have something else in the chair that's reserved for God? And we really got to check our hearts, and we got to be honest with ourselves on that. And if that's you, if you're thinking that, yeah, maybe I do, I would encourage you to open up your mind and open up your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where your priorities are jacked up. And let me reiterate, if you're sitting here mad at me today, if you're defending the place that you have, the thing that was reserved for God, that might just be the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. If you're resisting the truth that we're preaching from God's word this morning, I want you to remember something. What you resist the hardest often reveals what controls you the most. Wherever you're pushing back in your mind right now, wherever you're saying, hey, anything but that, bro, that's my thing, anything but that, it's just my thing. That might be the very thing that you've got stealing God's seat. So what do? How do we fix it? Well, we've recognized now, maybe you're, okay, I've recognized that maybe I'm putting something before God. We don't just fight the symptoms. Remember we said that sometimes we think that the thing is the problem. The thing is just a symptom of the disease. So what do? We don't necessarily remove it. We replace it. We don't just remove the thing out of our lives. We replace it with God. And then we put God first. And then we start to see why God wants us to put him first. And we start to experience all of the things that come with actually putting God first and not just speaking it with our mouths. So the question is, why haven't we done this before? If this is the answer, what the heck? This isn't rocket science. Like, why haven't I been putting God first all along? And the answer is super simple. It's because we really don't care to. We don't care. You know why? It's because you and I pursue what we want the most. You and I make time for what we want the most. We prioritize the things that we care about the most. And the reason that God isn't first in our lives is because we don't want God as bad as we say we do. Even when we speak it with our mouths, our actions say something much different. So the question would be, why? If this is the answer, why the heck don't we actually want God? Why don't we want God to be first in our lives? And the answer is because most of us, many of us, we don't really understand how good God is, even though we say we do with our mouths. And the only way to truly know how good God is to put him first. It's to put him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then you know what? All of these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added unto you. When you put God first, you truly know God's heart. But until God has his rightful seat at the table of your life, you can never fully understand the love that he has for you. Until you have God in his rightful place with everything else behind it, you cannot know the love that he has for you. The only way to know God, the only way to understand his love for you, is to make sure he's in his rightful place. He doesn't just get a seat at the table. He's the head of the table. The only way to understand the extent of God's love for you is to put him first in your life. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Will you stand to your feet this morning? I would ask that everybody would close your eyes and bow your heads. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions here this morning. Maybe you're in this place this morning and you said, you know what, Pastor Ronnie, you kind of ticked me off here today. You called out my thing, bro. My kids are my thing. My car is my thing. The gym is my thing. This is my thing. And you called it out. It's not bad. But maybe the Holy Spirit's working on your heart right now and saying, you know what, you've got that thing in the wrong spot at the table. Maybe you've been searching for something. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you feel empty, disconnected, sad, depressed, anxious, angry, and you don't know why. Maybe it's time to take a look at the table of your life and see where you've got God seated, if he's seated at all. I would just ask if there's anybody in this room this morning that would raise their hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I just need you to pray for me. I think I got my priorities jacked up. I see your hands going up all over the place. Listen, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us have our priorities jacked up. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you. But before I do that, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're tuning in online and you say, you know what? I've never put God first. I don't know that I've even ever met the God that you're talking about here this morning. I don't know that I've ever experienced the true knowledge of his love. I don't know that I've ever experienced a true experience with his son Jesus. I don't know if I've ever felt that. Listen, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. He says, I stand at the door and knock. The Bible also says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that, like I said, I'm jacked up, we're all jacked up, and none of us can get it right without Jesus. And maybe you're in this place this morning and you say, Pastor, I need to meet Jesus today. If that's you, I just want you to slide your hand up so I can pray for you. See your hand. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. God wants you to put him first. Not because he wants to do you harm, but because he knows that any time we put something in the place of God, that it's going to do harm to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your message, even when it's a hard one. God, I pray over these hands that went up that said, I think I got my priorities jacked up. These are good things, but they're not good things when I put them in the place of God. I pray that you would reveal to all of us, where are our priorities? What are we replacing you with at the table of our lives? God, I pray that we would just get out of our own way and put you in your rightful place as Lord over our lives. You are the beginning and the end. You are life and life itself. You gave everything to know us. And Lord, that we would just remove the barriers and place you in your rightful seat at the table. I pray for this hand that went up that says, I don't know Jesus. I need to know Jesus. I pray for this heart. I pray for this soul. I pray that they would seek you, and I pray that they would make you Lord over their life, God. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done in this place this morning. We praise you, and it's all because of you. Nothing happens void of you, and it's all for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Fathers, we have a gift for you. Fathers, on the way out, we've got some nice bling bling socks for you. Feel free to grab a pair on your way out. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.